Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Michael Dobbs' number one best-selling novel and acclaimed political thriller, House of Cards, has served as the inspiration for the hit Netflix series starring Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, winner of the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a TV Drama. House of Cards was originally published in the UK more than 20 years ago. Dobbs' entertaining tale of skullduggery and intrigue within the Palace of Westminster introduced the world to the unforgettable Chief Whip Francis Urquhart, who uses any tactic he can to become Prime Minister. For this new edition, Dobbs has rewritten the ending and modernized the dialogue. The book is House of Cards, the story that inspired the hit Netflix series, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Dobbs to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Joe, it's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It is fascinating, wonderful to have you here, and it's fascinating looking at this story of how we have embraced this as an American audience. And this is a story that you looked to tell in book form over 20 years ago, which ultimately came out of your own political dealings within the Thatcher administration.
Well, indeed. I mean, before I worked for Margaret Thatcher, I also spent some time in Boston, part of which was working on the Boston Globe all through Watergate. So with the background of Watergate and then having spent some time with Margaret Thatcher at very close quarters, I think I had a fair amount of information and experience to go on. But, you know, when I wrote the book, I didn't expect it to be published. I wrote it really as a bit of relaxation, almost as a result of a bet. So, you know, the way that it then took off and has changed my life was completely unexpected and out of the blue.
Did you want to look at the relationship of journalist and politics as much as you wanted to look at the dirty dealings of politics itself?
Well, we always, good drama always looks on the dark side. You know, if you go back to Shakespeare, I mean, Macbeth and Hamlet, you get most out of understanding of things when you look at, and characters when you look at their dark side. So it is without any apology, it does look at the cynical side of politics, even though I'm spend half of my life trying to protest that politicians can actually do a great deal of good and ought to be taken more seriously. But with my experience on the Boston Globe, and of course having lived through Watergate, and then spent a huge amount of time being involved in that relationship between Margaret Thatcher and the press and Rupert Murdoch and things like that, it was an inevitable combination, because at the end of the day, politicians need to communicate. And newspapers, certainly in those days, perhaps a little less nowadays, but certainly in those days, was one of the prime forms that they actually got their message out there.
This, of course, was a successful book and then became a award-winning BBC TV series. At what point did you start to hear whisperings that this was going to go to the States?
Well, in all honesty, several people over the last 20-odd years, because I wrote it 27 years ago, several people have knocked on my door from Hollywood or the States and said, look, we want to make the transition from Britain to America. And you know what Hollywood's like. I mean, many times things are promised, very rarely they happen. So when people from MRC, Media Rights Company, who the partners of Netflix in this, knocked on my door and said, look, you know, we want to do this, in all honesty, this was about 5 years ago now. In all honesty, I was not overwhelmed. I said, fine, you know, let's see. And then they came back and said, look, we've got Kevin Spacey and David Fincher interested. What do you think about that? And I said, you need me to think? I mean, Spacey and Fincher are two of the greatest talents, theatrical talents, dramatic talents on the planet today. And that's when it is at that point that I suddenly began to realize that this was not only serious, this was hugely serious and offered some wonderful potential.
And when you look at it, obviously your work and then what they have done with it, certainly very much the framework is similar, but what it does show you is really this language of politics is somewhat universal, doesn't it?
Well, universal and timeless.
Yes.
Because, again, I go back to Shakespeare. I'm not trying to compare myself to Shakespeare, but Shakespeare is still valid today. What he did, what he wrote about people, their ambitions, their vulnerabilities, their weaknesses, have remained very much the same. And it's understanding those vulnerabilities and weaknesses, which I think really unlocks any period that you're looking at. Now things have certainly changed since I first wrote it, which is why I've gone back and just tweaked it slightly. For instance, today, everything happens on a smartphone, on the internet. And when I first wrote House of Cards, computers, at least in their use in politics, were very much in their infancy. So some of the incidentals change, but what remains absolutely constant is the desire of men and women to succeed and the lengths which some of them will go to in order to succeed.
You have rewritten the ending, and was that something that you always wanted to do, or is it to have a better bridge between the book and the series?
Well, I mentioned that I wrote it as an accident, not taking it terribly seriously. I never had any intention of becoming a writer. I had a very well-paying job. And when they said, when the publisher said, "Look, we want to publish this," and I said, "Well, fine, go ahead." And we talked about changing the ending there, and I said, "Yeah, it's right. They probably should have a different ending, but frankly, I just don't have the time to concentrate on it." So we kept the original ending that I had written, and didn't change it at the time. Although, frankly, I should have done. I'm sorry now. Trying to make up for lost time, having been forced to take the whole thing rather more seriously. I mean, it really did totally transform my life. It is still transforming my life, all for the right reasons. And it was a huge accident, totally unexpected.
Does the success of the series in this country surprise you at all?
Not with people like Spacey and Fincher and Robin Wright and Bo Willimon, the wonderful showrunner who's responsible for the new script, because they are people of absolutely top quality. And I'm not surprised that it has made the transition, because it's not about British politics. It's not really about politics at all, to a certain extent. It's about people. And that's what you remember at the end of it. It's the nature of the people, not the details of the politics. What has surprised and delighted me is that Netflix picked this up and are using it as part of what they believe is going to be a revolution in the way that we watch television and entertainment. Providing 13 hours of a series at the press of a button. So there are so many things going on at the moment, both in terms of the creative force of House of Cards that they've brought to it and the fact that it's helping change the rules of television, that makes it a hugely exciting time in my life.
So it is helped bring a term to us called binge watching, where you have that 13 hours, and my wife and I took about 3.5 days to watch the entire 13 hours of the second season of House of Cards. How long did it take you?
Yeah. Well, because I'm watching it as it goes along, which is fortunate. But it's a bit like a novel, you see. And you pick up a novel, and you're going to have, depends upon how much time you've got, whether you're going to do it in one session or five sessions. And creatively, Joe, it makes a huge amount of difference, because if you're forced to do traditional television, you have to chop it up into hour segments in a way that comes to almost an artificial climax at the end of every episode, so that the viewer might remember it in a week's time and will turn back on again. This way, binge viewing is a horrible word. I don't particularly care for it.
But no.
This way, the writers, creatively, you can treat it more as a feature film and leave it entirely in the hands of the viewer how they watch it. And that is a really exciting new venture. And I have to say, I ask people not to pinch me too hard, because I might wake up, because it's been the most wonderful dream, and this has been really the most exciting and happiest professional experience of my life, I think.
So what has it been like? You've been to the set. How much do you have to do with the day-to-day of the show?
I don't have much to do with the day-to-day of the show, because the set is in Baltimore. I'm in London. I'm a member of the House of Lords, which keeps me busy, you know, every hour that's thrown at me. So my opportunities to go over to the set are few and far between. And frankly, if I fell under a bus tomorrow, the whole thing would carry on in the splendid way that it does. But when I do go over there, it's fantastic, because they are very serious people. They take their creativity very seriously, and I think it really does help them to have me around for a while, to offer them enthusiasm, a bit of inspiration, because it takes it back to the roots of the whole project, even while they are building new parts of it. So it really is it's much more like a theatre play than it is traditional television in that sense.
And you like to see where it's going. I mean, that must be fascinating for you, for these characters that you ultimately created.
I can't tell you how much excitement I get when I'm on the set, when I watch the new releases, when I see the rough cuts of what's going on, and when we chat about it and chat about the future. It really and you know, Kevin Spacey is not only is a brilliant actor, and everybody knows that, but he's also a very serious and brilliant man too. He spends much of his life in London, where he took over the old Vic Theatre 10 years ago, at a time when it was absolutely on its knees, and there was talk of it being changed into a theme bar. And he has rebuilt the old Vic, brought brilliant creativity back to it. He's and done it by force of personality and his own personal endeavor. It's a huge privilege to be alongside people of that caliber.
When you look at a novel that you have written that has this character with such unquenchable ambition, and the character that Kevin Spacey plays in this is so beautiful, and now you can't really imagine him not talking to us, the audience, and letting us in as to what is happening and what's on his mind.
Well, that is a wonderful artifice, isn't it, as he turns to us, because it makes us sort of co-conspirators. He brings us in on the plot, because otherwise, I mean, he's just evil. He's intolerably wicked. But by bringing us in and making us part of that conspiracy, we want him to go on and have more to share with us. And that is why it requires such a brilliant actor like Kevin to be able to carry that off. The original actor who played Francis Urquhart in the BBC original series, which is still available on Netflix, and many American viewers are still getting a great buzz out of it. Ian Richardson was also a great Shakespearean actor, and you need that sort of quality to be able to carry that off. But if you can carry it off, it's a wonderful way of involving everybody and making the series larger than it would otherwise be.
House of Cards is the story that inspired the hit Netflix series. It is just out from Sourcebooks in a new edition by Michael Dobbs. Michael, thank you so much for sharing with us, and congratulations on the wonderful success.
Joe, thank you very much. I hope people enjoy it, and if they do, tell all their friends.
Absolutely. It's a great pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the novel, House of Cards by Michael Dobbs, published by Sourcebooks. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.